God's solutions are often very unexpected, because I had just told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, a few days ago, I told this brother, I said, brother, do not be disappointed if God ends up not using you. I said, I have this sense that it's very possible that God is going to do this in a way that none of us have foreseen. He may have just been testing our faith to see if the willingness was there for us to put ourselves, our families, our finances, and our freedom in harm's way in order to obey him. But he may legitimize this, and he may have something up his sleeve that we haven't even imagined. Talking to Lisa, and I said, sweetheart, it just doesn't seem to me like God is going to smuggle me into New Zealand. That just does not seem to be equal to his power. I said, you know, maybe he again was just testing us, but if God wanted to show unbelievable power, the record for 12 years through my journal entries and public records have indicated she has been so filled with an evil and a hypocrisy that it's just shocking. People would see videos and hear stories and be like, how could somebody be like that? And there's been evil spirits involved. But if God wanted to show his power, I said, imagine if he did something like that. It's 8:35 in the morning on August 31st, 2022. I'm in prayer and I just said, oh God, there's just such a weird feeling. It could be just nothing more than me, you know, just the normal human weird emotions and fluctuations and feelings and senses. But there is this sense that we are really on the verge. I have felt obviously very hopeful many times that we're there. But there is this something deeper this time. There's something, it feels like our deliverance is very near and literally could break through at any hour. It feels very close, like within days. And again, I don't know if this is a true feeling of the Spirit. There just feels something different in the atmosphere. Even as I walk on the trail this morning, everything just feels different. My prayer feels different. I just have this like hypersensitive awareness to how the time very well could be at hand. And so I am looking at everything that I've seen in the last week. And the one thing that is standing out, there's a couple of things that are standing out in the last week. You know, the Lord has led us to these passages of scripture in Nahum 1:15 and in Isaiah, both of which on the same day, the only two verses in the entire Bible that say, beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. And a promise of peace, if you will. And it just seems to me like God has been showing us a lot of 727s in combination with that, that the messenger is coming soon, to be prepared, to be alert. The messenger with good news is coming. And although we've been waiting for a long time, we know that God waits and he makes us wait. But I also, you know, wonder if he's saying, you know, get ready. Like, we've been seeing also, we noticed that Mark 1:15 says, you know, the time has come for the promise to be fulfilled. And we saw that yesterday. And we've seen, you know, 12:28, no longer will I delay, but that which I have spoken, I will fulfill. The vision will no longer be delayed or held back. And so I'm just paying attention to this. Again, God's timing is always very different than ours. And I'm just paying fast attention. We're noticing, you know, the 7714 yesterday on my walk. I went to the neighborhood. I look over and this house, just the number is just glaring at me, 7714. And I think it was separated on the house by like a light over their main house, you know, entranceway. And I just thought, is that a number? And then I just kind of ignored it. And then I take about five more steps and I look up and their mailbox is staring me right in the face down the side, 7714. I stop on the sidewalk and look up 7714. And there is this beautiful psalm. I'll just even read it so that it's word for word. And I'm saying, wow, God, It's highlighted in my Bible. You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power amongst the nations. That's NLT and NIV 84. Is you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. And we're seeing all these scriptures that the Lord seems to be pointing us to about God getting ready to show his power and display his power amongst the nations and perform mighty miracles. We're seeing 9:10. I must have seen 9:10 10 times yesterday between Lisa and I. And for us, that's Job 9:10. He performs wonders which cannot be fathomed, miracles which cannot be counted. So the theme is, I'm expecting a big miracle. And so what ended up happening to me that's so interesting is, Lisa and I talked yesterday. We're like, I said, sweetheart, let me just share this with you. I said, look at all these passages, and I haven't even named them all, that we've been led to. And she goes, yes, honey, I see there's a theme. It's all about God displaying his power amongst the nations, etc., making his hand known, bringing himself glory, etc., the very things that we've been praying for him to do in this. I'm still here, still trapped. It's August 31st. I'm going nowhere. There's nothing new that's happened except for the grace that I continue to receive with Lisa in our hearts. There's nothing new that's happened. Everything feels silent. It feels like the world has come to a stop. There is something so remarkable. It feels like everything's on hold in anticipation of the breakthrough. It just feels this way. It feels like there's something big getting ready to happen. So I started telling Lisa, I said, I'm also seeing this theme in like scriptures or in writings, in principle. I said, even one of the main principles of the book of Isaiah, which I was reading last night, again, chapter one, I looked at the notes, the intro notes. And here's the thing. I want to read this. This was so remarkable. The thing is that it said that there are three main concepts of the book. Two of those concepts of the book of Isaiah is that prophecy is not simply prediction of the future. It is God's revelation of himself, his requirements and his plan. And somebody else had written, I think it was that the main point of prophecy is not just to predict the future, but to bring God honor when what he says comes to pass. That would have been Chuck Missler. And so here we see it's God's revelation of himself, his requirements and his plan. So I can see how that feeds into this sign that God is working in our marriage for an end time sign and a plan. And then the second point was, it is important to have confidence in God's plan and trust him to carry it out. These are two of the three main thematic concepts in the book of Isaiah. It is important to have confidence in God's plan and to trust him to carry it out. Now, I found these last night and I said, sweetheart, think of how much this applies to all that we are experiencing in our story and how it's not just about these times and the dates and the promises, but so much is being revealed about God, about Jesus Christ, about his plan for the future, particularly the end times. Then they say there are seven key teachings in the book of Isaiah. Now, here's five of them. And I said, look how remarkably true and relatable these are for us. Number one, God is trustworthy. Number two, God is more powerful than even the greatest empires and armies. This is a picture of exactly what we need to hear and are facing with the fact that we're standing up against the United States and New Zealand governments, walls up to the sky, because of the laws that stand against me, because a criminal act has been committed against me, and yet I'm the one that is left looking guilty. My children were stolen from me. And at some point early on in calling me into the ministry, the Lord allowed me to get behind on child support by his permissive will, left me a balance. And then as I was getting closer and closer to paying it all off, he stops me from doing so and says, no longer pay the child support, which of course leaves me with this irremovable obstacle, impassable blockade, unless God does it. So that's all what's happening now. The next thing it says, Yahweh is God and there is no other. God has a plan and is capable of accomplishing that plan. That's point number four. And then finally, the whole point of me reading this, God's solutions are often unexpected. And That one is the one that really, really got me. God's solutions are often very unexpected, because I had just told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, a few days ago, I told this brother, I said, brother, do not be disappointed if God ends up not using you. I said, I have this sense that it's very possible that God is going to do this in a way that none of us have foreseen. He may have just been testing our faith to see if the willingness was there for us to put ourselves, our families, our finances, and our freedom in harm's way in order to obey him. But he may legitimize this, and he may have something up his sleeve that we haven't even imagined. So I told him this about maybe a week and a half ago. He sent me a message last night, and he said, oh, brother, I really hope that's not the case, man. I've been praying that God will use me. He really wants to be used in helping get me to New Zealand. So no matter what, he's getting the experience of he and I are now friends, and he's getting the experience of having his faith be tested, and he'll have been proven that he was willing to put it all on the line. I said, it could be something like Abraham and Isaac, where God calls Abraham to put the knife basically to the throat of Isaac before he says stop. And I said, so we may be in a situation where God may have just been testing us to see if we were willing to sacrifice, you know, our name, our dignity, our conscience, if you will, to a certain extent. If God, I mean, my conscience wouldn't be violated, but it would be on the edge of being violated. But as long as I knew that God was telling me to break the law and to go, I would go. Nonetheless, he may have just been testing us. I told Lisa yesterday, I said, okay, look at all these scriptures that are showing about God doing mighty wonders, powerful deeds, outstretched arm and all that. I said, this is not fitting with the approach that we've been believing, where we're thinking that somehow or another, I'm just barely going to get by on some package container, perhaps on a certain airline, and get to Australia. And then from there, somehow or another, we get me over to this island where there's this sailboat that's going to then take me into New Zealand if all these things just work out right. I said, this is not matching up. I said, me ending up in New Zealand as an illegal immigrant is not going to be a display of God's power. I said, sweetheart, look at this. I said, anybody could do this. I said, I guarantee you, if you had $25,000, probably even for some people less than that, I said, you could probably pretty easily find some way to have somebody get you in. It'd be pretty easy. I mean, the fact is, it's 100% right, because you can get a fake passport, apparently for like $10,000. There it is. There it is. I could pay $10,000 and get a fake passport. Is that truly the miracle and glory of God? Is that a mighty outstretched arm of God? Does that prove to anybody that God did this? Or does that more likely say, oh, you just waited until you were sick and tired of waiting, and when you realized you were wrong, you just went ahead and did it like everybody else did it? There would be no glory in God, glory for God in that. So I'm really starting to believe, 8:48. I just tilted my phone backwards. It lights up at 8:48. We had a remarkable thing yesterday happen where I took a picture of a report in PayPal for Lisa to show how much money I had sent to her for some report she needed. And on that was a fee of $6.66. Next to it was two numbers, 534, 848, and then I took the screen capture at 555, and I said, would you believe this? I said, look at this picture, sweetheart. 666, attack of Satan. 555, I will deliver you. And then 534 and 848. Those are both the exact same passages about the lady subject to bleeding who was healed by her faith. And Jesus says, go and be freed from your suffering. Your faith has delivered you. Both of those. And I said, look at this. They're right beside each other. 534, 848, touching. And so it's just, when you look at that image says, Satan's been attacking, but I promise deliverance. Go now, your faith has delivered you, and be freed from your suffering. It's remarkable. So it's all these providences that are showing, and it's soon, it's coming, and it really feels like at any point in time now, it could really break through based on this atmosphere I'm feeling. And so anyhow, yesterday I was talking to Lisa, and I said, sweetheart, it just doesn't seem to me like God is going to smuggle me into New Zealand. That just does not seem to be equal to his power. I said, you know, maybe he again was just testing us, but that doesn't line up with all this display of his power that he seems going to show us. I said, because anybody could do that. I started saying, oh, honey, I have no idea how God's going to do this. And this idea came into my mind. I said, I'm not saying this is prophetic at all. I said, this is just one of those, you know, where you let your mind have some fantastic thoughts and you consider the possibilities of what God can do. I said, if God really, really wanted to put on a display of his power and make his power known amongst the nations, I said, do you know what God could do? I said, God could have Carrie repent and go to the court herself and say, I was wrong. I was an angry, wicked person to my ex-husband. And in my hate, I was blind and I couldn't see the truth. And I stole the children from him for 8.5 years, 9 years now. I attempted to do it right off the bat, began to try to destroy their relationship. I succeeded in doing so. And I continued to take child support all these years to the tune of about $150,000 for children I never let him see. As a consequence, he has not been able to leave the country to do God's will because he no longer has a passport because of the debt. I'm admitting my guilt. I would like to, if he is willing to forgive me of the debt that he has paid me thus far, I'd like to have his account absolved of any future obligation and to have his debts today with the court completely reconciled, have him restored back into good faith with the state, with the government, and have him receive his passport back so that he can be free to go into the will of God for his life. And hopefully he will not turn and try to seek retribution for me, and he will forgive me this grievous evil and wrong in my attempt to make this good. I've gone to the court to do this. And I say to myself, if God wanted to show unbelievable power, the record for 12 years through my journal entries and public records have indicated she was capable of the most vile, wicked evil and a hypocrisy that is beyond anything I've ever seen before. So she doesn't look like a murderer. She looks like a saint and a great mom. But she has been so filled with an evil and a hypocrisy that it's just shocking. People would see videos and hear stories and be like, how could somebody be like that? And there's been evil spirits involved. But if God wanted to show his power, I said, imagine if he did something like that. I said, isn't it interesting that we haven't even heard from her? Lisa's like, yes. She's like, when you were paying the support, she was dragging you into court all the time. Now you stop paying and you don't hear anything from her. And it's been pretty much right out of a year, I think, in September since I've paid any support. We haven't heard a peep. And I just thought, imagine if God brings her to repentance and she swallows hard and admits it publicly. I said, imagine if P put out a video and said, I was wrong. I sinned against my God. I sinned against my husband, Michael. And I did tremendous damage to his heart, tremendous damage to his credibility, tremendous damage to God's testimony in his life, all because I was prideful. I lived in fear of losing my freedom to God. I rejected my God, rebelled against him, rebelled against my husband, did all the evil you could possibly stand, went out on the internet, got taken astray by hollow and deceptive philosophies, allowed myself to be ensnared by an antichrist Eastern mysticism spirit, and threw away all that was good that God had given me. And I am so sorry for the public shame that I brought on God and on my previous husband, Michael. And I want to apologize. I said, baby, if we wanted to see God's power, I said, could you imagine if God did something like that? I said, sweetheart, my life has been ruined, basically, almost, by two spouses, two single-handedly spouses, nearly ruined everything I had. And if it wasn't by the grace of God, I said, supposing it was a situation like Joseph, where what was meant for evil has been turned for my good, but then Joseph's brothers repent. I said, imagine if God did what even I didn't believe he would ever do. And he granted, you know, repentance to one or both. I said, Carrie would be the biggest one because of the child support issue. I said, then I would go to New Zealand, a totally free man, totally new life, totally vindicated with my dignity, not being a deadbeat dad, not having been a serial adulterer, not having been a liar in the eyes of people, as they say. And I just thought to myself yesterday, I was like, wow, this has never really come to my mind in any significant way, but what if God did something like that? That would be the most amazing display of power that I could have even possibly imagined seeing. God can do anything. And I said, even if, you know, P didn't come back to Christ, she could actually have a conscience and admit that she was wrong and that she fell away from the faith and that she knows she did really wrong. And same thing with Carrie. She could finally just say, I can't live like this anymore. This terrible lie of trying to convince my children and keep them convinced that my ex-husband, their dad, was a devil. And it was really me. I played into the hands of Satan. I can't live like this anymore. I want to at least have freedom for the rest of my life to be able to sleep at night and be able to know that, you know, I actually came clean. I screwed up for a lot of years, but I came clean and did right. And so I see how Father used these two women to inflict a tremendous amount of pain and suffering on me for my discipline, punishments for sins, judgments against me for, you know, living my life how I wanted, love of money, all these kind of things, but also more importantly for the disciplining me and training me as a Christian, as a servant of the Lord, baptizing me in fire, changing me. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. And so it would be so incredible to see how God did Joseph's brothers, how he turned that situation. In all humility, I expect not to see something like that, but I'm just compelled to think that I think God is going to do this in a way we haven't thought. And I think now I'm going to be terribly surprised if suddenly this guy says, oh man, I bought the boat, the deal came through, and then some door opens up for me to get to Australia. I got a feeling I'm going to be really surprised about this. And of course, I can't trace God out. I may be wrong about all of this. It may be we're going exactly the way we've thought, and God has clearly shown us that it is impossible. He just keeps throwing more water on the sacrifice, showing this is impossible. You can see that it's like these doors are closing. And it's so remarkable that these things even popped up to begin with. And yet they've closed. So we're at this place where you have no idea how God's going to do this. It's like he led us to believe certain things, and I'm having a bit of deja vu where I've been here before. The Lord brought me into a place of such confusion. It was regarding the last move. It was regarding, you know, it looked like we were supposed to move to Texas. And my friends Jared and Kristen had started seeing all these leadings that they were going to be moving to Texas. And we all thought we were going to end up going together. And it turns out that I was being led somewhere else. And then there was the whole New Zealand thing. Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Good to see you.
Enjoy your walk.
Yeah, you too. So then I see my friends, and they are talking about, or rather, I see all these New Zealand providences to begin with that are telling me New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand. P says I'm not willing to go to New Zealand. And yet I've put the tiny house up for sale. It looks like we're all in. We've had the estate sale. We've sold everything we have to prepare to move to New Zealand. And then she tells me I can't do it. And then we have this situation where Texas is popping up. And I'm like, this is so weird, God. What are we doing? Are we going to New Zealand? Or are we going to Texas? And the Texas thing, God uses to get Jared and Kristen a place to live. He intentionally has me mention it on the video, and it connects them to, you know, the brother and sister there that helped them live there for a while. So I see how God used it. But then he ended up leaving me right here. And I prayed, I'm like, God, please just let us stay here. I don't want to go to Texas. I was so adamant about not wanting to go to Texas. And I just said, Lord, if you want me to go, but I was really upset about going to Texas. I looked back on that and I'm like, gosh, I don't have any idea where we're going to end up. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I know that God is going to lead us and guide us in this. And then, of course, he did something we weren't even expecting. He gave us a really amazing place that I didn't even have to look for. He told me not to look, not to take action. He used my own mother, who's not had faith in anything God's done in my life, to happen to be driving down the road and see the old place that she had seen 2 years ago when she was at a conference, and she stopped and talked to the people. And anyhow, we know the rest of that story. And she came to me at 5:55 and said, they've agreed to rent it to you. And that was an incredible experience. I mean, when you look at that, like almost you want to say, God, what was the point of us living there for 2 years? And yet there was so much good that came out of it. And it was a balance. The tiny house and that place really helped me go through the worst parts with P. God gave it like a cushion. It's like you could see the goodness of God in the midst of this terrible suffering as well. It was bitter and sweet all at the same time. And that place was a sanctuary for me to constantly pray and all that stuff. So man, oh man, oh man. What hell to go through with that person. Goodness gracious. Oh, man. So I'm back at that place where it's like I know where I'm going, but it's like I have no idea how I'm going to get there. Abraham set out not knowing where he's going. And you know, it's funny. I saw 11:17 this morning. I don't think that's the scripture from Hebrews, but that just came to my mind just now. I saw it last night and I thought to look it up. No, this is by faith. Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Back from death. And I'm going to have to receive my wife back from the dead, because me getting into New Zealand right now is total death. It's funny that this is Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Pretty appropriate. Yeah, this whole thing is very amazing. I've just prayed and I don't feel anything super powerful in prayer. I just feel very stable. I had much better energy than I did the day before yesterday. So yesterday I had great energy. I was very surprised. The day before was a total wipeout. I had to basically force myself to just lay down and watch a few movies. I couldn't do anything else. So I'm back feeling better. I got up episode 84 yesterday, which was about weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I started to read some of the testimonials yesterday from the Money episode 83, the Money and Faith, where I asked for testimonials, and some of them are just so incredible. People that have stories where they took a leap and trusted God 12 years ago and he's still taking care of them, providing, looking after, and specific stories about how God came through for them. There was a knock at the door at just the right time. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just such a blessing because I want other people to see that this is not isolated testimony, that God doesn't do this just for his full-time servants. The point of the full-time servant is to tell you that God will do it for you. You can trust him. So he gives an extraordinary example to help build up the faith of other people so that he can do that for them as well. And it's just so beautiful to see people sharing their testimonies. There was like 57 comments yesterday with stories and testimonies in just the first couple of days. And I haven't even had a chance to read but a handful of them. And I'm just, it's more for the people. I want people to sit and read through them all and be so encouraged and blessed. And I see all kinds of thumbs up on them and stuff. So I'm super excited about this. That was a real blessing. And so Lisa and I are doing okay, you know, in our energy levels and just missing each other, something terrible, and just really, really hoping. I've had a few moments of, I would say, stark terror that have come upon me just in a quick flash moment when I think about what if 9/11 comes and goes and nothing happens. And that would be, oh man, I don't even want to think about it. Lisa and I, she says, well, honey, you know we're really stubborn. She says, you know we'll keep going. I said, of course we will. I said, but I just don't even think about that right now. I feel like we've been as low as we can go, but we're there again. As Thomas Boston says, we're always ignorant of how, you know, low. We're just as ignorant of when the lifting up is as we are of how the bottom, where the bottom is. So I'm going to just continue to trust the Lord and wait upon him. And one other interesting thing is yesterday is the day that I sent this young brother named Paul, 22 years old, who has autism. I sent him a link to a few hidden web pages on my site where I've put all of the timeline dates and another page where they're all grouped by event, or rather the events are grouped by numbers. And he has been emailing me every day pretty much for the last like 2 weeks. Pretty much every other day he's finding numbers on his own. He would say, you know, oh, Brother Michael, it's 1 year to the day from this day to that day. And oh, Brother Michael, did you know it's 21 years to the day since you let go of the gym, or since you started the gym, and all that kind of stuff. And I started going, wow, this young man has a real knack for numbers and dates and stuff like that. And I had been praying that, Lord, how am I going to find the rest of these? I've found so many already just by the Holy Spirit's, you know, help giving me two dates. I put them in time and date, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is incredible. But we're talking about, so far, I've got over 150 significant events listed, and finding the dates and connections between all of them is so difficult because there has to be commonality on the subject. It has to be commonality on the event. And then there has to be a biblical time period that's between the two. And so I just thought, you know what? Maybe the Lord has brought this young man into my inbox for a reason. Maybe the Lord wants to use his talent in this way as an autistic young man, that he may be able to use it. Lisa was so happy about this. She's like, oh, I just love this. I said, yeah. I said, it's wonderful. And I told him, I said, okay. I said, make sure you don't rely on, you know, just the gift, the way the Lord has made you this way. I said, be sure to trust the Holy Spirit to, you know, help you. So I don't really know much about him. He gave me just a small little bit, but he's been a Christian for over 10 years and people call him a math whiz. He can remember everybody's dates and birthdays and stuff like that. So clearly when you have autism, sometimes you go off the charts, whereas you will lack in that social interaction. Sometimes they have these talents in other areas. And if it goes extreme, they call it like Asperger's syndrome, or maybe that's something different, but that's where a person can be very, very dysfunctional as a socially interactive human being. But yet, like I saw that one time that this black guy, they flew over the city of Rome. They made one pass over the city in a helicopter, and the guy was able to draw so many details on this huge, big wall-sized painting of what he saw, that it was absolutely flabbergasting. His memory, he even remembered the number of windows and the buildings. He got the design of the Colosseum right. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. So some part of his brain, although the other parts are broken, some parts of it are exceedingly out of balance. Good. Amazing. For a guy to be able to do that. So he sent me a few today, and I hope that it's a blessing to him and a blessing to us. And other than that, there's just this anticipation that at any moment something could happen. Any moment something could happen. A friend of mine told me a neat story this morning, and he said that he's like, I just can't believe how you keep going like this. He said, you just mentioned in this recording, from May, he says, where you were just out of it. Or actually, no, I had sent him the recording and I told him I was out of gas a couple of days ago, that day that I was just flat out. He's like, brother, I don't know how you've lasted this long. He's like, you're like the Energizer Bunny on steroids. He said, it's amazing. He said, you should have been, out a long time ago. He said, it's just a miracle, and clearly it's the Lord's grace that keeps me going, this resurrection life over death thing that I keep talking about. But he said he had this friend of his that he had worked with at his company for like 14 years, and one day he was over at his house, and he happened to catch some paperwork by glance, and it revealed that his friend had been a former Navy SEAL. He's like, what? He's like, you were a Navy SEAL? He's like, yeah. He goes, how come you didn't tell me, man? He's like, oh, I just don't tell it to anybody. I just keep it to myself and all that kind of stuff. So he found out, and then he said that he was starting to tell him stories. And he said one of them reminded him of me. He said when he was down on the beach in California going through his training, he said, they do everything they can to try to break you, to get you to where you'll break and you'll quit and you'll give up. And he said one time he was doing his push-ups on the beach, and the sergeant came over and put his foot on the back of his head and stood on his face and buried it in the sand while he was doing his push-ups, and knew exactly how long to push his face into that dirt before he passed out to see if he would break. And he said he just went there and did it. And he said as soon as he took his foot off of the back of his head from pushing his face in the dirt, he immediately began to do his push-ups again. He says, I was not going to let the guy break me. And he just said that it reminded him of what God has been allowing Satan to do to me, just pushing my face in the dirt, in the dirt, in the dirt. And I said, man, this reminds me of what I talked about Brother Yun, where he just keeps pushing his face in the dirt and pushing his face in the dirt and pushing his face in the dirt. And I guess it's happened to me too. I'm just not seeing it exactly like that. So anyhow, I thought that was really kind of encouraging to hear. Maybe I'm like a heavenly SEAL instead of a Navy SEAL, or I'm a Navy SEAL in the Heavenly Royal Army, maybe that's something like that. I am amazed at how much weakness I have, and yet how strong I am. I see that Father has indeed put on a display of His glory in my life, because I truly am one of the weaker people I know. When I think about how strong people are in the ways of life, in every sense, there's people that are so strong. And I think about me, and I think about all the weakness that I have. And then I see how no matter what I go through, God has given me this grace to keep going. No matter what happens. I mean, loss of everything twice. And wives, children, you name it. And I just keep going. Dignity, ministries, the whole thing. And it's only by the grace of Christ that shows Jesus is real, and I have happiness. I mean, I'm out here today thanking the Lord and just feeling happy and expectant. I'm missing my wife. I can't wait to be with Lisa, but I am waiting. So I say I can't wait, but I am. I'm willing. And this whole thing is just incredible. I'm almost at the end of the trail now, so I'm going to sign off and just keep waiting. There's a calm silence, restful expectancy. That's that word again. I have this restful expectancy, or restfully expectant. And so we'll see what happens. May God will it that we just have the grace to continue to wait and see what is going to be this great display of His power that we keep hearing about.